today.
It's a red, white, support the blue flashback weekend. Flashing back to our favorite interviews with those that have put their lives on the line for their fellow citizens.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Retired FBI Special Agent Robin Dreek joining us. Robin, also Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. And with that, has dealt with a lot of espionage issues and such within the United States government. And Robin, I want to talk about this sort of behavior where, as with the Daybells, it was almost a business. You had mentioned in our last interview, the business of Lori Vallow Daybell and Chad Daybell was having people die around them and then collecting insurance settlements. It seemed to be working for quite a while. When you're talking about that, or when you're talking about the areas where you come, like I was saying, with espionage and stuff, where is it, or why is it, that at some point people don't just say, you know what, I've gotten away with this long enough, I better like change before my luck runs out? How do they just keep going?
You're doing it right there again. You're placing a human emotion on a wolf.
Sure.
That's exactly what it is. People like this are not that self-reflective. They just aren't. They are just always seeing, all they're doing is engaging with the world, seeing it as prey, and learning as they go about how to be a better predator. That's it.
Yeah. As we continue in with the trial here, and it'll be the defense's turn at some point, I'm curious, where do you think they're going to go with this? How are they going to defend this woman when it is their turn to take the stand and call their own witnesses and such?
It'll be interesting. I agree. Their job is to sow doubt, mm-hmm. and, you know, beyond reasonable doubt in these types of situations. I think what's interesting, because she's such a fantastic manipulator, that people in her lives do, she is endearing to them. If you meet her one-on-one, this is what great predators are. You know, they're going to bring you in close. They're going to make you feel like $1 million. And that's why her son, Colby, you could tell that he really loved his mom until all of a sudden he realized she went completely sideways.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're going to probably try to do. They're probably going to bring in people in to testify that were disconnected from these latter things and just say what kind of human being she was and how she could never do this. Because, I mean, the people that knew her said, oh, she could never have done this. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what they might try.
Just dig up folks from the past that a relationship broke off from prior to all of these bad acts taking.
Maybe, and they're going to do their best to, again, I'm not a defense attorney at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say just probably, you know, use alibis, make it seem that it wasn't her that committed the murders themselves, deflect it, make it, you know, who knows what they're going to do.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting, but it's going to be rough. There is no doubt, because it's a pattern of behavior in her entire life. I mean, going back to her sister's death back in 1998, I think it was, her sister died, her older sister, you know, and so that's when the death started. I've read a book last week, it was, and they said on average, actually, it was Neil deGrasse Tyson in Starry Messenger. And he wrote in there that in the course of our lives, the average person is only bear witness to about 4 or 5 people tops that have died in our lives through the course of our entire existence. And that's what the average is. Hell, this woman had it in her, by her 30s. I mean, just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it does go back, and you're exactly right. That's when I forgot about, too, the sister that died. There's so many one-offs, or that maybe not even one-off, just that were looked at as, well, you know, people die. And looking back now, and you see this trail, it makes you wonder, was she involved in some of these other ones, too?
How could she not be?
I mean,
at this point, when you're looking at human behavior, it's always, you know, when we're looking at and baselining human behavior, everyone always asks me, so Robin, how do you baseline someone? I said, yes, you just get a 30,000 foot optic and you don't try to see something. You just observe what is. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the 30,000 foot optic or the 10 foot optic of me looking at my wall with my sticky notes all over it And on those sticky notes, I actually have all the people in her life and their relationship to her and who's died and when they started dying. That is what you call a pattern.
I'm curious to get your reaction to this, but the other week when we heard one of the prosecutors had a death in the family, were your eyebrows raised a little bit, or eyebrows raised a little bit when you heard that, and we had to end court for the day? It's like, what?
How sad and tragic. And you know, gosh forbid she is acquitted of this in any sense of anything. But if anyone in her family or anyone she knows has a life insurance policy, you're going to die. I mean, it's just the way it would be. I mean, it just becomes very predictable. You're going to be found by her and Chad to have an evil spirit in you, and it's got to be excommunicated out of you, and then 2 days later you'll be dead.
Yeah, they've seemed pretty relentless on their quest to do these sort of things. And even if she wasn't the one who physically pulled the trigger or, you know, set the poison or this or that, although on some it seems like she had to have, it's her involvement. It's her not having any sort of concern or care that her children were missing for more than 5 months, and there's a manhunt or a nationwide search going on for them, and she's off in Hawaii getting married. Even if we can show that, yes, she did not kill them physically, there's no explanation for these other behaviors that she was engaged in.
If we look at her from the sense of here's an individual that is 100%, I mean, not even a flicker of anything else, self-centered. And when you have children, take the center of attention off of you. Yeah. So they got to be gone. That's exactly what I think what happened here. And it's interesting why her son Colby, I was kind of looking at it again, just anecdotal, just observations as I'm seeing human behavior. I think that he gave her a lot of attention. Colby seemed like an extremely empathetic individual who loved his half sister, loved his half brother, his adopted brother, and JJ. And loved his mom. I think he gave her enough attention that's why when he came into the courtroom, she mouthed, what was it, my baby boy or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's because he gave her the attention and made her the center of the world, which is the only thing she ever wants, is just to be the center. And when children, especially if they're special needs children, come into life and she's no longer the center, and you can get money from it, that's part of the enterprise.
You know, if you look at the timeline too of it, it's rather interesting, because it was around the time when Colby was old enough and he went off on his own is when she started going down these dark rabbit holes to these sort of extremes. And it was just the other two kids that were with her. He'd become an adult and he was gone. So I'm wondering if there was something there where she was missing that, you know, constant adoration from her son, and then she had to find it somewhere else, and then she found it in Chad, and it just, you know, the inconvenience of the special needs children, probably for both of them, because they're both self-centered, was the logical choice for them of, well, let's just get rid of them, we'll be happier.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I even asked this earlier. I wish I knew more about Colby's upbringing, because she obviously didn't bring him up. I mean, because we learn our behaviors from the people we're surrounded by, and whoever he was around did a good job of instilling at least honesty and good human empathetic behavior, because he didn't learn it from her. So I was really interested in how he was brought up and who did. Apparently the father did that she divorced, and who's also dead.
There's not many that are left, quite honestly.
I know. She's a path of destruction is what she is.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Robin Drink, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your insights. Hey, if you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts as well. Even get an ad-free experience when you sign up through Apple Podcasts. So do check that out. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.